This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah. So our topic for today is the blessings of trials. And I picked this topic because I know right now people are dealing with a lot of unease. There's a lot of anxiety that people have surrounding, obviously, the coronavirus and all the other challenges that it brings with it. And it does seem like this is definitely for a lot of people, this is a hardship, and a hardship in a way that we may not have faced before. And I was actually earlier speaking to my wife, and I mentioned to her, I said, you know, it almost feels surreal, like that, you know, what we're dealing with right now, it's so out of the norm to have, like, you know, this pandemic, you know, a disease. It's almost like we're living in like a movie or something. You know, we see those movies like 28 Days Later and like all those movies where like a disease spreads, and, you know, obviously a lot of the zombie movies as well. It always seems like fantasy, and I'm not saying we're dealing with zombies, but, you know, the fact that a disease is spreading so quickly and we're in the thick of it, and this is regardless of where you live in the world, right? Before it was, you know, I know a lot of people here in America and certain places, when we heard about the coronavirus, we're like, oh, that's over there, all the way in China, right? So nothing to worry about, no big deal. It's just go about your life. And then slowly it starts getting closer and closer, and it starts to become more and more real. And so it does feel like this is something, you know, like I said, this, it feels very surreal for a lot of people that we have been challenged in this way. But the reality of our lives and the reality of our existence is that there is no life that we can live in except that we will be tested and we will be challenged and we will go through hardships. Even a person who has been given everything in life, so they have a great job or they have tons of wealth and, you know, whatever other measures of success we have in this life, you know, wealth, popularity, whatever it may be, a person who has all of that, even that person sooner or later will go through difficulty in their life. And yes, the type of difficulty, the type of calamity, the type of trials may be different and they may vary, but all of us, every single human being will go through difficulty and challenges and tests and trials. This is the sunnah. This is the way of our Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every human being be created. As a matter of fact, we know that we were one of the reasons we were created. And one of the realities of our existence is that we were created to be tested and tried. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That the one that it is He, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created death and life so that He may test you or try you and see who amongst you is best in their deeds. And this tells us, subhanAllah, that the reality of who we are, the reality of our faith, the reality of our commitment to our morals and our ideals, it really comes to light when we are tested and tried. And even we know specifically, Prophet told us about patience, right? And I know, you know, I often say this, people talk a lot about patience. And we all think, I think we all have like a certain level of delusion that we all consider ourselves, or a lot of us consider ourselves to be patient people, right? And I've heard people say, like, you know, I'm a patient person, alhamdulillah, whatever. But the Prophet told us that that's not how we judge our patience. We judge our patience by the most difficult times. And that's why the Prophet, he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عَلَىٰ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَىٰ, that the patience is at the onset of a calamity. And the onset of a calamity means something happens to us and it's unexpected. Right, it's almost as, yani, we didn't prepare to be patient. It just, boom, it came upon us. And we weren't prepared. So the way we lived our life and the way we trained our nafs, our soul to be, that the truth of who we are, right, the reality of who we are, that's what comes out in that onset of that calamity. So likewise, the reality of our existence and how we live our lives and our morality, the truth of it is shown when we are tested, right? The truth of it is shown that when we are weak and when we are in a situation where we feel like we feel weak. And interestingly enough, for my comic book fans out there and, you know, DC fans, some of you may, even those of you don't watch, don't like read comics and stuff, Batman is kind of like a social phenomenon. And those of you who have seen The Dark Knight, and I'm not, by the way, and I have to make this disclaimer always, I'm not encouraging people to watch movies. But if you have seen that movie, The Dark Knight, one of the things that the Joker says, and please forgive me for not being able to quote this properly, but I remember the idea of what he was saying. In one part of the movie, he says, human beings, basically putting down human nature, and he's saying, human beings are like animals. When the chips are down, right, when things are bad, they'll eat each other alive. And he goes, I'm just ahead of the curve, meaning I just bring that chaos to the forefront. But that's the reality of human beings, that when matters become difficult, they'll eat each other alive. They'll take advantage of each other. And if you remember, there's that scene in like the boat, right? There's two boats and they, can blow each other up or whatever. And in that movie, at least, human nature is shown to be good. Because nobody, both of those boats, they don't take advantage of each other. They don't decide to blow up the other boat, right? They decide to sacrifice themselves for the good of humanity. And as Muslims, actually, we don't believe that the Joker was correct, because we believe that human beings by nature are good. That the fitra, the natural inclination, the way Allah has created human beings, is that we are naturally, our nature is a good nature. Yes. That nature can be corrupted. Yeah, that nature of goodness can be changed. We can be affected by external situations and circumstances. And yes, but as long as we have a way back to our nature, our fitrah, then that goodness will always remain. And that for us as believers, as Muslims, is the Quran and the Sunnah, the guidance of Islam, that as long as that guidance is there, that we will always have a path back to our fitrah, our nature of good. Right, but the point here is that when we are tested, when we are tried, that tells us, it kind of exposes the reality of who we are, and that is why one of the reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created life and death, to test us, and ayyukum ahsanu amala, to see who amongst you are the best in deeds. When is the reality of our deeds shown? Well, they are shown when we go through a hardship. We go through a difficulty, we go through a trial. So today I did want to mention some of the blessings that come about because of trials, because of difficulties, because of tests. So one of them, obviously, as I said, our reality is exposed because of difficulties and trials and tests. But specific blessings. Number one, one of the biggest blessings that we get from a test and a trial is that every trial, every test, every hardship, every difficulty is an opportunity for us to get close to Allah, is an opportunity for us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this, that when difficulties come upon us, normally we go one of two ways. Either we get closer to Allah or we move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this happen over and over again. In history, you look at people's lives, when a difficulty comes upon us, either we draw nearer to our Lord, we seek his help and his assistance, and tawakkul, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, or that calamity, it pushes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why one of the du'as that the Prophet would make is that he would say, Allahumma thabbitna inda ibtila. He would say, oh Allah, keep us firm when we are tested, when we are tried, right? So that calamity is a way for us to stay firm in our faith, but return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those big aspects of how we return to Allah is tawakkul, is reliance upon Allah. When we're in a difficulty, especially when we feel like we're losing control, right? And I know that's how it feels right now. A lot of times, we think about the coronavirus and how quickly it's spreading. And some of us, we live in very wealthy countries, right? And I can speak for myself. I live in the United States of America, an extremely wealthy country with all the resources in the world and the best technology and this and that, whatever. But look at what's happening because of the coronavirus. Look at what our great president has done. SubhanAllah, we have no control right now, and it's actually chaotic, right? And this makes us understand that in the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in charge, and we need Allah. We We have to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And once we get down to the bareness, right? The reality of our life, the reality of our existence, that no matter how much we think we are in control, in the end of the day, we need Allah. That will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is known as tawakkul. Tawakkul, meaning taking all the means that Allah has given to us, right? But understanding that in the end of the day, it is Allah who is in charge and is Allah who is the controller of all matters. So we put our trust and we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually the Prophet sallam gave us the perfect example of relying upon Allah and how to properly rely upon Allah. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallam, he said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. He said, if you were to rely upon Allah, the way he should be relied upon, meaning this is the proper way to rely upon Allah, the Prophet said that you would be in the state like the birds who Allah provides for. And then the Prophet says that the birds, they go out in the morning hungry and they return in the evenings full, right? So Allah provides for them, Allah gives them sustenance. But notice here, this is the perfect balance of taking the means that Allah has given to us, doing our part, and then understanding that it is Allah who provides for us. So, you know, our scholars say that this is a perfect example because the bird doesn't just chill in its little nest and say, oh, Allah will provide for me, right? And by the way, this is how some people, they view tawakkul, where they think tawakkul is to do nothing, just rely upon Allah, right? Like, just take no means, don't work, just be like, oh, Allah will provide for me, or Allah will take care of me. That's not tawakkul. That is actually known as tawakkul, which is an incorrect way of doing tawakkul. Tawakkul is to take the means that Allah, like we do our part, the best that we can do, and we know that the outcome is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like this bird, or the birds that the Prophet is telling us about, these birds, they don't just chill in their nest saying, oh, Allah will provide for us. The birds, they go out in search for food. And throughout the day, as they search for food, Allah provides for them. Right, so this is tawakkul. This is the tawakkul that we naturally, as we're going through trials, as we're going through difficulties, it's almost like if we didn't have tawakkul before, which is tawakkul is something that we should have in all times, right? But it's easy when everything is going well, everything is relaxed and everything is easy. It's easy to forget that in the end, that Allah is the one who's in charge, right? We go to work, we make a living, we provide for our families, and we can get delusional and think that we are the ones who are providing for our families, right? Oh, I worked hard in school and I got good grades, so I'm the one who got good grades, or I'm the one who guaranteed success for myself. No, you took the means. Tawakkul means you understand that it is Allah who provided for you in the end of the day, all right? Yes, we take the means. We take advantage of the resources that Allah has given to us. So when it comes to the coronavirus, we do everything we can do to protect ourselves, right? We you know, all of the measures that have been given to us, everything that the medical professionals and the scientists and everything that people are saying, you know, social distancing and all of that. Tawakkul is not to go out in a crowd of people and say, Allah will protect me, right? Tawakkul is not to go expose other people and harm other people. And I do want to talk about harming other people as well. That's not tawakkul. Tawakkul is you do everything you can do to protect yourself, to protect others, to take care of other people, to protect yourself from the disease. But understand that in the end of the day, Allah is the one who is the true protector. And you know what? There's a lot of talk about when are we going to have a vaccine? When are we going to have a vaccine? Tawakkul means we do everything we can do. And I'm not a scientist, so I'm not working on this. But, you know, those of you who are scientists and those of you who are, you know, in the medical field, those of you who are in the research field, those of you who are working on it, tawakkul means you do everything we can do to come up with a vaccine. But it is Allah in the end of the day who will make that truly possible. And even a cure, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a vaccine and a cure for this virus as well. And so we keep working, but it is Allah who provides that cure. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible for us. The big point here is that we move away from self-reliance and we move to reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In actuality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one of the biggest reasons that we may transgress is that we see ourselves as being self-reliant. كَلَّا بَلْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطَغَى أَرَّأَهُ اسْتَغْنَى. No, surely man sees himself as being, surely man transgresses because they see this person, they see themselves as being self-sufficient, right? So when we feel like we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not the ones who are truly in need, this is when we begin to transgress against Allah and against ourselves as well. But difficulties and trials help us understand that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That leads me to point number two, and that is that when we go through trials, when we go through difficulties, we begin to understand how weak we are and how much in need we are of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, when everything is going great, we may not understand this. We may not realize how weak and how needy we are to Allah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Antumul fuqara ila Allah," that you are the ones who are poor to Allah. And you are the ones who are truly in need of Allah. Wallahu al-ghani. Allah is the one who is wealthy, or Allah is the one who is free of any need. And you know, this ayah is speaking to people who have, even the billionaires, when it comes to Allah, they are the ones who are poor, right? They are the ones who need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this wealth doesn't mean anything when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so another one of the blessings of going through a difficulty is that it is through difficulties, it is through trials and tests. It is through trials and tests that our sins are removed. You know, we live lives we continue to sin. None of us are free of sin. We all commit sins. We all make mistakes. One of the blessings of going through a difficulty, of going through a trial, is that it's through these trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes our sins. An authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma min musibatin." He said, "There's not a single calamity or a difficulty yusabu biha al-Muslim that a believer goes through, illa kaffara Allahu biha, except that Allah removes sins because of this calamity, hatta shawka yushakiha." Even a thorn that pricks a person. There's not a single difficulty that a Muslim goes through except that sins are removed because of it. Even a pricking of a thorn, even something as small as that removes our sins. Then imagine these bigger calamities. Imagine when we go through even bigger and larger tests and trials and calamities. Imagine how much of a blessing it is that we are, as long as we are patient and we recognize that it is Allah who is in charge, that because of that we have our sins removed. And another narration of this hadith mentions Sahih Bukhari, Prophet gets a little bit more specific. He said, "Ma yusib al Muslim min nasabin, wala wasabin, wala hammin, wala huznin, wala adha, wala ghammin." Prophet said, there's nothing that a Muslim goes through, from fatigue, from disease, from sorrow, from sadness, from hurt, from distress, hatta shoka yushakiha, even a pricking of a thorn, illa kaffara Allahu biha min khataya, except that Allah removes this person's sins because of it. And subhanAllah, look at the varied types of calamities that is mentioned in this hadith, specifically disease, right? Even a disease that, and there's nothing that we go through from these calamities, except that Allah removes our sins because of it. How amazing of a blessing this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when we go through trials, when we go through difficulties, when we go through calamities, it is a chance for our rank to be raised with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a chance for us to be higher with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we have the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, hadith of Anas, mentioned in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ basically said, the greater the test, the greater the reward. The more difficulty that we go through, the more reward that we go through. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتِلَاهُمْ. That if Allah loves a people, He tests them, He tries them, He puts them through trials. So this is from the sign of Allah's love, and this is a chance for our rank to be raised with Allah. And that is why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, who is tested the most severely? Man ashaddu ibtila'an, who is tested the most severely? The Prophet ﷺ said, al-anbiya. He said, it is the prophets, thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal, then the most like them, and then the most like them. Meaning the more similar we are to the prophets, the more severely we will be tested. And as we are tested, the greater our reward is. And the greater our reward means the higher we are raised in rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get closer, the more difficulty we go through. And we trust and rely upon Allah, and we accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we remain patient, and so on and so forth. In all that process, we are getting nearer to Allah, and we are being raised in our rank. So this is an opportunity for us. You know, like as I said before, we live our lives oblivious of what is happening in our spirituality sometimes. But this is a chance for us to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that it is through these difficulties we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, another blessing of going through trials is that trials helps us appreciate the blessings we have from Allah. The sad reality is that as human beings, sometimes we don't appreciate something until it is taken away from us. And that's, you know, it's part of human nature, that when we have something, we don't appreciate it. But when it is taken away from us, we begin to appreciate it. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of FOMO, but the fear of missing out. You know, we may not appreciate something until someone tells us you're not going to be able to have it. And then we begin to appreciate it. And I'll just say two words, okay? Toilet paper, right? Depending on where you live, right? But I'll tell you, where I live, there we never had a shortage of toilet paper. We never had and toilet paper is just one thing. But many of the things that we take for granted, right? Hand sanitizer, subhanAllah. I know in my life, I can't tell you the amount of times I have seen hand sanitizer and not given it a second thought, right? And I'm sure a lot of you can relate. There's, and especially where I live, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. I go to the gym, there's hand sanitizer. Go to the doctor's office, hand sanitizer. I go pick up my kids from school, and there's hand sanitizer everywhere. And we don't even think about it. Every once in a while, we'll go, put some in, and be like, okay, whatever. Alhamdulillah. We might not even say alhamdulillah, right? We're just like, okay, whatever. Now that there is a shortage, now that we need this, we appreciate that hand sanitizer. We appreciate that toilet paper. We appreciate those things that we kind of took for granted. And when it comes to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is all about paying attention. The blessings are always there. And our scholars, they say, even the person who is living the most difficult life, even the person who is going through the most distressing situation in their life, even they have something to be grateful for. Even the person who is living the most difficult life has something to be grateful for. It's just a matter of paying attention, being conscious, being aware of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And times of difficulty help us appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And this is, once again, it's a wake-up call, right? In reality, this is what these tests and trials are. They're a wake-up call. Lastly, and you know, I've only mentioned five or six blessings. There's so many blessings that if I was here for 5 hours, we could continue to talk about the blessings and the wisdoms of being tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I wanted to highlight just some of these, right? So lastly, I'll say this. One of the last blessings of going through a difficulty, of going through trials, of going through hardships, are the blessings that we are not even aware of, that we don't even know about. That there are blessings that we are gaining right now. There are things that we are benefiting from going through this trial, and we don't even know about it. We may understand these blessings after. Right after we go through this trial, how many of you, subhanAllah, have gone through a difficulty, and during that difficulty, you didn't realize the benefits. But after it happened, you look back and we say, wow, you know, I learned this and I learned that. In actuality, I'm glad I went through that test. I'm glad I went through that trial. Right? So there are blessings that we are getting right now that we don't even understand, and we may understand later on. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That perhaps you may dislike something, but it is better for you. Meaning you don't realize it right now, but later you will realize. And sometimes we don't realize it in this life. But in the afterlife, we realize the blessings of the difficulties that we went through. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا that perhaps عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, that perhaps you may dislike something and Allah will put a lot of goodness in it. Right? So we dislike it, but there is so much goodness in it that we may not realize in this specific moment. So those are just some of the blessings that we go through when we are afflicted with a trial, when we are afflicted with a calamity. And I will leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope you all can share some of the blessings. Like I said, I hope this talk just opens us up to thinking and contemplating and kind of pondering this very question, the question of how am I know it seems bad, I know it seems difficult, I know it's tough, and like I said, I understand there's a lot of anxiety that we're dealing with right now. And there's people who are not just anxiety, but people who are in physical pain, right? People, may Allah protect us, right? But people who are afflicted with this disease that are going through physical pain, but all of these hardships, there are always blessings in it. And so that is what the purpose of this talk, inshallah ta'ala, was to open that door. Since I'm here, I actually did want to mention a few things that I had been thinking about as we're going through this coronavirus and we're dealing with this issue as well. I was going to make it a separate talk, but since I'm here, I'm just going to highlight some of these points since I'm here, right? So, and this is a little bit off topic, but I did want to mention a couple of things that I've been noticing, especially being online. And I know, subhanAllah, one of the outcomes of the coronavirus is that we're spending a lot more time online. So first thing I'll say is just be careful. Those of you who've taken my seminar called The Fiqh of Chillin, we had a whole section on the fiqh of social media. We talked about a lot of the things, a lot of the problems that we need to watch out for when it comes to being online. Issues online that not only affect us in our relationships and in our lives and our well-being, our emotional and our psychological well-being, but even, subhanAllah, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll just say this, because we're spending more time online right now, because like I said, because of the coronavirus, a lot of people are self-quarantined and we're staying at home more. Automatically, we're going to be online more. And that's only going to multiply some of these problems that we deal with online. So just be mindful of that, inshallah ta'ala. Also, what I've seen, so one thing to be careful about, and I've seen a lot of people come online and give their opinions regarding certain matters and certain issues. And a lot of times it's like these general sweeping statements. So in the beginning, at least here in America, I noticed that there was a lot of people who were kind of belittling this whole issue, right? People are like, oh, it's just a virus, it's just the flu, it's not a big deal, or whatever, no reason to take any precautions, just relax and blah, 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 blah. And subhanAllah, all those people who were speaking, maybe not all of them, a lot of those people who were speaking, it was just their opinion. They weren't a specialist, they weren't qualified to be making those statements, but the reality is they were speaking about something that they didn't have a lot of knowledge of. And the reality is that when we say things online, we're responsible for what we're saying in this life and in the afterlife as well. So we should leave these type of statements, making judgments about the coronavirus and what we should be doing to people who are specialists, people who are qualified in the field, just like with Islam, right? We don't give our opinion on Islamic matters unless we are qualified in that matter. Likewise, in these matters, we leave it to people in the field. We leave it to the professionals. We shouldn't be making judgments on our own. So just that is something to be careful of. Also, people, since we're talking about Islam, I've noticed because of Jum'ah, because of last Friday, different communities, they were trying to figure out what to do. And even in my community, the imam, the board met together and they were deciding whether to cancel Jum'ah or not. And one of the things I saw online was there's a lot of people giving their opinions, right? Some people are like, oh, we should definitely cancel Jum'ah. And other people are like, we should definitely not cancel Jum'ah. And other people said, no, we should do this and we should do that, whatever. Number one, as I said, this should be left to the people of knowledge, people and the scholars who can seek the counsel of professionals and people in the medical field and so on and so forth. But even the scholars, and I'll say this, even the scholars and the people of knowledge, I know a lot of people, a lot of our scholars and imams or whatever have come online and, you know, they've made like videos and stuff and given their opinion, right? That, you know, we should do this or we should not do that. One of the things that I'll tell the average person out there, please be mindful that anytime a scholar or whatever is giving an opinion, for the most part, they're speaking about their location. They're speaking about their circumstances. They're speaking about what situation is where they live. It is very difficult for a scholar to speak about what somebody should do, you know, in another country and even in America, in another state, right? Because state to state, you know, looking at the coronavirus, the situation in Washington state is very different than maybe a different state who is not as affected yet, right? So just be mindful of that when seeking these, when looking at these opinions online. Now, I know one of my dear friends, they actually, one of my dear friends and one of my mentors, the Sheikh, Allah Hafadhu, in his community, they decided to hold Jumu'ah, right? And they made that decision based off of their community. And alhamdulillah, like I saw pictures from the Jumu'ah that they held, and they managed to take all the precautions, right? They had like wax sheets on the floor. Everybody was standing 6 feet apart. Only a few people came. And I was like, okay, alhamdulillah, in their community, they were able to do that. That may not be applicable in a different community where once you say, we're not canceling Jumu'ah, everybody shows up, right? And now it becomes dangerous. Now it becomes where, yani people, we can be harming other people by showing up for Jumu'ah. So just be careful of that. And that's why I am very, if you follow me online, you know, I am very careful when making general comments about these issues, especially current events and things that are happening right now. Those of you who follow me online, you know, I stay away from a lot of this stuff because I know that every situation and situations are different. And I can say something and it may apply to a certain area, it may not apply to a different area. So just keep that in mind, inshallah ta'ala. And likewise, and one of the last things I'll mention, inshallah ta'ala, is that it's similar to what I've been saying. I'm still hearing a lot of people belittle this issue. I'm still, even like in my personal conversations with people, I'm still hearing people say, oh, it's just a flu, right? Just go about your normal life. Look, as a believer, as a Muslim, one of our core responsibilities is to make sure we are not a source of harm for other people. So the people who are saying, okay, you know, it's not a danger to me because I'm young and, you know, for me, it's going to be just like the flu. Maybe for you, it's just like the flu. But we do know, and this is what the specialists are telling us right now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, we do know that people who are old, people whose immune systems are weak, that this is life-threatening for them, right? It can cause serious health problems and even death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So maybe if we don't take precautions and we just go about and, you know, we go about and live our life as normal and, you know, we don't practice social distancing and we just like, you know, I know people who are like, no, I'm going to go and live my life just the way I was living it because it's not a big deal. Or once again, that incorrect understanding of tawakkul, right? Or Allah will protect me. Yeah, you may not suffer, but perhaps we may contract something and give it to somebody else. And I'll just tell you personally, like I think of the people in my life, who have weak immune systems or who may be elderly. And I don't think like, okay, inshallah ta'ala, and Allah knows best, it won't be life-threatening for me, but if I contract the coronavirus and then I go around, you know, those people who are vulnerable, then it could be life-threatening for them. And so, as I said, we have to think beyond ourselves. And really, this is a chance for us to show the world what the deen of Islam actually is. Selflessness, helping other people. And I've already seen it, alhamdulillah, on social media and stuff. Like, I think it's beautiful that there are those people out there who are hoarding, right? So those people who are, you know, only thinking nafsi, myself, people who go to the grocery store and buy up all the toilet paper and all the supplies and all the needs. And they're not thinking of those who may not be able to come to the grocery store, right? The elderly and the weak and those people who have compromised immune systems who can't just walk into the grocery store and buy 10 packs of toilet paper or whatever But alhamdulillah, we have those people who are not being like that. They're thinking of others. They're actually going in and helping other people. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing, another blessing that we get to show people the deen of Islam, the selflessness, right? Thinking about the empathy, right? لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself, right? So just like we want to protect ourselves, we want to protect others as well. And part of, as I said, the core aspects of our deen is we don't want to be a source of harm for anyone. Prophet said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, that there's no, in Islam, as a believer, there is no, we do not cause harm, nor do we return harm. Even if somebody harms us, we don't harm them back, right? This is our, these are our morals as believers. And the famous hadith that I'm sure many of you know, al-Muslimu, man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, that a Muslim is the one who other people, other Muslims, are safe from their tongue and from their hand, meaning any type of harm, whether it be harm of the tongue, harming them with our words, or even physically harming them. So I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing, alhamdulillah. I think Muslims, for the most part, everything that I've seen, we're not falling prey to our base desires. You know, we're not like the Joker said, right? That we're going to eat each other alive when the chips are down. Alhamdulillah, we are showing that we are better than that. So keep doing that and keep encouraging good for one another, right? Encourage one another to be patient. And patience, by the way, is part of patience is being patient with one another and encouraging one another to be patient as well. So that's it. That's the last thing I wanted to say. And I know there's a lot more to be said. And as I said, I will be doing a lot more live streams, inshallah ta'ala, and a lot more live sessions. And I will be posting a lot more on my YouTube channel. So please keep in touch, subscribe, right? I know it, for me, it feels weird saying that, right? Subscribe to my channel, blah, blah, like and subscribe and share, blah, blah. I'm not saying all that. Just subscribe. So inshallah ta'ala, as I continue to do these live sessions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this effort. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a means of goodness. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me if I have made any mistakes or any error in what I have said. If I have said anything good and beneficial, then that is truly, truly the blessing and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.